All right, David Morgan with the weekly perspective. I'm going to start off this week with the Baltic Dry Index. And as you can see, this chart goes about 4 years back. We saw, just looking at the averages here, the red and the blue lines are the 50-day and 200-day moving average. I'll look at the 200-day. Basically, over the last 4 years or so, we've seen a low around 700 and a high around 1400, again, on an average basis. What we saw in 2016 was we broke down from the 200 level, way down to a new low, and then we've popped back up about halfway through the year last year, and now we are dropping off again. This is basically a good way to look at what the world economy looks like, because it shows what the goods are, hard goods, being shipped around the globe. And I want to do a little further comment about this. So from Wall Street, we got this report that the world's largest carrier container, which would be part of that Baltic Dry Index, unexpectedly has big losses in a crushed industry. Now war with China looms. Talks about what has happened to this conglomerate. And we also look at what he says later in the article about one of the premier shipping container conglomerates has basically gone out of business. So this is not good from an objective perspective on what's going on with shipping around the world. One thing to note, however, is that we're looking at apples and oranges, because as things were booming in the early 2000s, when China was coming to the fore and just producing massive amounts of GDP year over year in a huge growth rate, especially for a population that size, it got overbuilt. But as it was getting overbuilt, the ships that were transporting these containers got bigger and bigger and bigger. So to compare the shipping from, say, 2015 to 2005 is inaccurate, because it might take three ships worth of cargo to haul the same amount of cargo that one of the newer ships would take, because they've gotten much larger. So that's something to bear in mind. Nonetheless, I'd say it's anemic at best, and of course the verification is here on this article from Wall Street. And to bear in mind that it is a global economic system, as we all know, and keeping with that theme, if we look at Mish Talk for Wednesday last week, Time to Panic in Australia, what he points out here in this article is that the private debt has soared 187% of their income, and basically, as many nation states, they are over indebted. And of course the real estate market looks well overheated, at least to some of us. Financial Review, as he links here, there's a $1 trillion of Australian mortgages and some worry of what's next, which implies, of course, that this debt can't be serviced, which, of course, is kind of the idea of what happened in the 2008 crisis with the mortgage debacle. Just pointing out, it hasn't been solved. In fact, the debts have gotten bigger, and the powers that be have basically continued the game and expanded it from the 2008 crisis. Nothing really has been solved. And if we look at what's going on in global tensions on that front, of course, it seems to be getting more and more tense. This is from International Business Times. I actually used to write for them weekly. I've not done that for years, regardless of me. War in Europe. Germany sends NATO troops to Russia's Baltic borders as the military dispute with Moscow escalates. You can read the whole article. I just want to point it out. The IBT is a good place to get fairly objective news, and tensions are increasing as I speak. And it seems I get Zero Hedge in every week, and definitely a great site. And this has to do with the Court of Appeals unanimously rejecting Trump's travel ban and the full ruling. And you can go to the Zero Hedge website and read the whole article. But it's rather interesting what's going on here with the executive order and what the court has ruled. And I'll just throw in 2 cents and say, I think that this is not over. And moving on to the commodities, for those that watch the Big Short or Reddit, you will know that Dr. Burry was focusing on one commodity after his success with the mortgage debacle in 2008, and that one commodity was water. Here's an article that talks about the water crisis by 2040, and this is the real deal. I do believe that we are facing a water crisis. I don't know what year. I will defer to this article, but it's something to pay attention to, and something that does not get a lot of press. Moving on to the precious metals, this is from Reuters, and physical gold demand slides to a 7-year low. in 2016, according to GFMS. Of course, there are other sources of information that probably would have a different take. Nonetheless, this came out at the end of January this year, and you can read this article and it goes through it. What I can determine directly is that talking on the retail and some of the wholesalers of substantial size in the United States, it seems that, or it is factual, that the amount of physical purchases are very low and very slow right now. Not that it doesn't mean they might pick up momentarily, but as it stands, as of the time of this video, the gold, silver physical demand is actually not that robust in the United States. And more gold news, Germany brings back its gold stash home sooner than planned. This is one where I was actually interviewed years ago at the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference in January, but not the latest one, several years ago, when Germany was looking to get its gold back, and it was being held for like 7 years. And then I was corrected on that, of course, by some of the more establishment types that told me. I never saw it, but I'm not saying it doesn't exist, that the contracts were that they had 7 years to pay it back. Moot point now, because according to this Reuters article, the gold has come home. So someone asked me if this is the same exact gold that was in the vaults, and the answer is no, it's not. I think all of us know that. And to give you a little bit on the silver side, this is an article from last year, but I think it's one that maybe some people overlooked. And it is, again, on Reuters, quoting GFMS, silver scorching demand for silver set to cool. It talks about the peak was 83 million ounces in 2016, talks about the amount of silver panels that are being produced, and that less silver consumption reduces dependence on availability and price developments in the silver spot market. This remains to be determined. Actually, other sources that I've reported on in the Morgan Report actually shows an increase in solar demand and amount of silver. And that's probably for 2 or 3 years. But again, I'm just reporting this. I will say that when Jessica Cross did her initial study back in early 2010, her projection was 140 million ounces a year about this time frame. And we see it's 83. And actually, I think she had a very good handle on it, because what she didn't know is that the efficiencies of the marketplace that were taking place over the time frame from 2010 to present day, which means that less and less silver is used to produce the same amount of electricity. So the solar voltaics have gotten more efficient. If it was constant, then this number of 83 million ounces would be probably a lot closer to her projection. Nonetheless, a great deal of silver is used in solar, and I still think that will be increasing for the next couple of years. Again, it remains to be determined. And finally, a rather long update, but when you come to the Morgan Report, don't forget that there is a blog, and we put information up there constantly. So it's listed like that. You click on the link. This is in the Prospector News. It will be circulated at the PDAC here in early March. And it just goes through this speculative situation that I've talked about on a few of the public domain channels. If you're interested in this type of thing, I encourage you to read our blog, and also you can get on our public domain email list. That's a free list, free e-letter that you get every weekend. So that's going to conclude it for the weekly wrap-up.